Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That is a powerful word. It's a powerful word because somebody needs that right now. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Always.
Praise the Lord. Dan, Jack, is this already going?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, God is good. God is good, isn't He? I say amen. God is good, isn't He?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It has. It already has. Not wish it was. It already did. Amen. Anybody who puts hope and faith and says amen to the gift of Jesus Christ, to the gift of God Almighty through Jesus Christ, His Son, that He died for your sins and it was raised for your justification, you receive that promise. That's just a promise to you, is that you're born, He's born again, He's born from above. All of a sudden your life is transformed and changed. You're no longer of this world, you're of the kingdom of heaven. You know, it says in the beginning, Willis, what you were saying, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And He said in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. See, that's God's word. God speaking is what creates life. God speaking is what creates light and life and everything that exists. Amen? And He did that through Christ Jesus. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I was bound by the law of sin and death, but now I'm no longer bound by the law of sin and death. Well, the law of sin and death is how the world works. Do you know that's how the world works? Whole world is built around getting around the law of sin and death. We can't get around it, but it's just living among it, living in it, living among it, and trying to manage it. It's like trying to manage a disease. You know, you're trying to manage your weight. You're trying to manage these things that are functionary on the inside of you. Amen? They're trying to manage on the inside of you're trying to manage things in a world that's unmanageable. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really what happens is that once you come into the presence of God, come into the kingdom of heaven, once you come into the kingdom of heaven, God begins to manage all of it. Amen. God now you found that sometimes you try to manage it too. You try to help Him.
I know.
You ever tried to help Him? You ever tried to help God manage you?
Yeah.
It doesn't work. You're unmanageable. I mean, you think your husband and wife think you can't manage yourself. Your mama and your daddy think they can't manage you. My goodness, you can't even manage you. Amen? People try to manage you. You see all these things going on. People are trying to manage everybody. You know, we got the governor trying to manage me. We got the hotel trying to manage me. You know, I'm unmanageable. I think you know that's true. Janet knows that's true, don't you?
Amen.
I'm unmanageable. That's right. You know, but the thing is that not a one of you is manageable. Not a one of you is manageable. And you just need to let go of that silly idea that you're manageable, that you can even manage yourself. I mean, Judith probably figured it out. Hey, look at yourself in the mirror tomorrow and you figure out you're unmanageable. I don't know that Brazos hadn't figured that out yet. She figures out, I can brush my hair, I can brush my teeth, and I think I'll be okay. Well, she'll find out later that she is unmanageable. Because sin just will manage you to death.
Yeah.
Won't it, Karen?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Sin will manage you. I mean, sin will try to manage you, Joe, until you're 79.
Crazy.
At least.
At least. That's right. But you're unmanageable. And you're trying to do this. And let's look over at Psalm 2. Let's look over at Psalm 2. Good morning. I waited till you got here to start.
Okay.
No, I've just been preaching till you got here. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You that Your word is always effectual. It's always bringing to pass that which You intend, even if the preacher is here or not, that You'll bring to pass what You intend because of Your word and Your promises. And so, Father, we just give You glory. We give You praise and give You thanks for it. Thank You for this psalm today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I've read this psalm before. And well, yeah, you have. But I think God will bless you this morning. Amen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Scripture says. You want to have ears to hear. You know, you don't want to have ears that are shut. Amen. Well, I've heard him preach on this before, so I don't need that. No, you don't know what you need. You know, you just need to be, let the Holy Spirit manage you today. Amen? I don't know why I'm talking about that. Psalm 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You know, you wonder why people claim to be atheist. It's because they don't like to be managed. Amen. They don't like to be managed. I like to do my own thing. I don't think I need God telling me what to do. You know, the problem is you don't understand the world you live in, do you? You don't understand the world that you live in is the world cannot be managed. You can't manage the world. God, you're not even capable. You have no capacity. God created you without capacity. You're going to be either ruled by God or ruled by the devil. Ruled by this world or ruled by God. You cannot manage or rule yourself. It's absolutely impossible. It's impossible for me to touch that ceiling. It just is. Now, Willis, he might be able to. But for me, I'm not. Me and Joe, we're not going to stand here and touch that ceiling. It's absolutely physically impossible for that to happen. So what God has created is in you is a need for Him. God's created in you a need for Him. Amen. You can't survive. You can't even live without God. You can't even live without Him. You can't eat without Him. You can't do anything. You can't survive without the living God. Without the breath of God on the inside of you, you can't survive and you can't do anything. Right. There's nothing possible for you to do without the breath of God. If God had not put the breath of life into you, you would not be breathing. You would not be living. You would not have any life in you at all. God created the world and He created man and He put breath on the inside of him. So when you whack the baby on the bottom, when the baby's born or when the baby just comes out, you know, that baby begins to breathe. You begin to shout and begin to cry and begins to wail. And breath begins that life. Breath begins that life. Not breathing before you start, before you get born. Otherwise you'd be breathing liquid. I mean, God brings you into this world and He put breath on the inside of you. You could not breathe and you could not live without the breath of God on the inside of you. So people don't want to believe in God. They like to just ignore the fact that God exists. They like to ignore the fact that the world was created and they have no idea how or why. So they make it up. They just make up all kinds of crazy ideas. I mean, I think God's idea is the best idea ever. God created it. I mean, there's so much perfection in the creation of this world. Everything works with everything else. Nothing could be perfected the way that the functionary of your body, the functionary of the environment, and the everything that is working in the world, the way it works, everything functions with something else. There's no way that could just happen, boom, boom, willy-nilly, that could just accidentally happen. Amen. There's no way that accidentally could happen. It's just all of these things that people want to come up with, all these ideas that people say. But why do the heathen rage? And why do the people imagine a vain thing? Because they want to live without God, but the problem is they can't live without God. They want to live without God, but the problem is they can't live without God. It's kind of like children and parents. They want to live without authority, but they can't live without authority. Amen. I remember those days. Maybe some of y'all do too. I didn't want to have any authority over me. You know, it's like somebody said your parents got smarter. By the time you hit age 25, your parents became a whole lot smarter than they used to be. Because you finally figured out that things didn't work out the way that you wanted them to work out. But the scripture is telling you here that no matter what, how much you learn, no matter what you know, no matter what you understand, is that men led by the spirit of the Antichrist desire to be free of God because they think that'll give them freedom and peace, and it'll give them nothing but death. And David is speaking to that here in this second psalm. Just in this second psalm. Well, you start out with the first psalm. As happy is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But happy is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate both day and night. That's your joy. That's where your joy is. That's where your peace is in the law of the Lord. In meditating in that law, or that, not only law, but the law is the substance of the creation. The law of God is the substance of the creation. Amen. God's law is evident in the sum of the creation. Because God, everything that God does is evident in that creation. Everything in the creation, as I mentioned before, is working. And it functions. You know, how many think you could destroy the world by your activity? I don't believe you could. I believe God has the world kept until the last day. He has prophesied it till the end of the age. He's prophesied that seasons will come and seasons will go. Seed time and harvest is going to come and go until the day that Jesus Christ returns. Until the day, the final day of the creation, the world is going to continue to work. That's what the Word of God says. So all of these things that people want you to be, don't want you to believe and immediately act upon. There's something you need to immediately act upon, because the whole place is going up in a puff of smoke in just about 5 minutes. So you better understand. There's things that have to be done, and they have to be done right now. That's called advertising. Anybody understand that? It's called advertising. Praise the Lord. I love Brother Jack. He's in that business. He creates a need where there is no need. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Wrong, but thank you.
Yeah, it's okay. Praise the Lord. God is good. We had another brother who was part of our fellowship in Fort Worth, who's one of our elders, and he had one of the biggest advertising companies in the city. In Texas, really, gave a company called Witherspoon and Associates. He got out of the Navy before he started that company, and I can't remember the story of how he got the idea, but the idea was he got it in the Navy about public image, and basically it wasn't advertising. Advertising was about the third thing he finally got around to, but public image was the way to. To get a business out there, get your business in the public eye, and public image could go two ways. You could public image in positive terms your business, and you could public image your competitor in the opposite direction. And so, public image is, what is that?
Perception.
This is not what Jack does. Jack does legitimate, godly business, but some people do. Other things. Is this being recorded? Can we scrub your name off of that? Amen. It's propaganda. Amen. Let's put some stories out there. Of course, we all love journalism and the news, right? Journalism is, oh, it's so helpful to know what's going on, you know. I remember watching the news when I was a kid, you know, Channel 5 news, you know, watching that. And I said all the stories that were going on, well, this and that happening in town this week, you know, and happening. And it was always bad news. I always figured out the bad news was the news that they tended to focus on. You know, they very rarely focused on good news. And if it was good news, I mean, nobody watched it. It was kind of boring. You know, well, we're having a party or we're having a celebration downtown. Well, that's good. You know, but boy, if somebody got killed or something, there was a fire, burned down the big hotel in town. I mean, you were all interested in that. So what people do, what the news wants to do is get your attention. And once it's got your attention, they can tell you anything they want to tell you. Because, I mean, after all, they have the authority. Back in the early days of the newspapers, I can't remember who it was. It said you don't go after somebody who uses printing ink by the barrel, because they have the power to destroy your reputation and who you are by telling one lie, and then they'll retract it on the back page. But they'll tell one thing about you, and then you're sunk, because that's all people will read is the front page. The front page, the top half. If you put something on the front page, the top half, I'm talking about the newspaper. Anybody know what a newspaper is? You know, is they would print that because that would be what sits in the window of the little news box, and you would buy that paper because that was what you wanted to read about, was that thing right there, that story right there, which got your attention. You know, and that's why people would advertise in the newspapers, because everybody would pick up a newspaper and they'd be able to see your advertisement because they'd be reading that story. All of these things. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? Because they're told things. The heathen rage, the heathen is talking about the leaders, talking about those who are in charge. Why do the people imagine a vain thing? Because they believe a vain thing. The people will believe a vain thing. They'll believe a vain thing because it's told to them two or three times. Amen? Now, are there diseases in the world? Yes, there are diseases in the world. Do we know how to deal with them? Well, we dealt with them for about 6,000 years. Ever since sin came in, we've dealt with them for about 6,000 years. This one's different. This one's different. This one's a different disease. It'll do something different than ever before. I don't need to be afraid any more than I was last year. Amen. I know things are being pushed around. Your schedule is being pushed around. Everything is being pushed around, but I'm not being pushed around. Amen? Well, you wore a mask in here. That's fine. That's no problem for me. I can handle that. Those, no big deal. Amen. I had to learn how to go from 70 to 55 for a while. Anybody that had to do that? Driving? Remember when we had to go from 70 to 55? Did you do that okay? Yeah, they did that okay. Then I learned how to go back up to 70. That was good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I learned how to.
After the song, I can't drive 55.
Well, see, there you go. There's more of that. Propaganda. Now, all of these things we've got, you know. And what I'm encouraging you with today is that why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? Because they want to believe that what people tell them. They believe what people tell them. And then it affects your law. Then it affects what you can do and can't do. I mean, they shut us down in our meeting here because they didn't want to let anybody in here in this building for, what, 3 months? 3 months? Yeah, something 3 or 4 months, you know? And so we all learned how to use Zoom. You know, we all learned how to do that. And all learned how to do all kinds of new things that we never wanted to learn how to do. We just learned how to do them. And it's okay. You know what? Things have changed over the years. There were people who didn't want a telephone in their house. They figured the government was listening in on their telephone. You ever heard that thought before? You know, now people we think we're listening in on this thing. They probably are. Jesus is Lord. Jesus. You know, I mean, if people are listening, you might as well tell them something that's helpful and tell them something that's beneficial. Amen? People are listening to you. Tell them something that's beneficial. Tell them something. Oh, I don't want people listening to me. Why not? What are you saying? You should be saying something that's helpful, something that's encouraging. Amen. Oh, they're going to get into my business. Well, they're already into your business. If you've got a social security number, they're into your business. That wasn't supposed to be an ID number. It became the ID number for everything, didn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Privacy. Dear Lord, I'm into privacy. Well, you know what? There's nothing private. There's very little that's private in this world. There's very little of your life that's private. So I wouldn't make that my focus. What I would make focus is the Word of God. I'd make my focus the Word of God and the love of Jesus. You know, Willis was talking about it today, this morning, just talking about the fact that if we just tell two or three people, just tell one more person today, one more person tomorrow, and then the person the next day, if we had a perfect and complete outcome on that, everybody'd be saved in 3 days.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Oh, God, I was hoping to be. I was hoping to be quicker.
5 billion people in the world.
I didn't want to misquote you.
Yeah. 3 weeks, and I'm quoting somebody else.
Yes.
The thing I have is plagiarism.
You sure it's exactly the same quote? But you'd begin to tell people the good news. Amen. And maybe that person didn't hear it. But maybe they'll hear it again for the next person who says it the next day. You know, sometimes it takes people three times to get good news. Amen. It takes people some time to get the good news and figure out what they've got is bad news. They figure out they've got three people in a row who had the joy of the Lord in their life and they don't have it. You know, people. Sometimes it takes time for people to figure out that they don't have the joy of the Lord. They don't have the gospel of peace working on the inside of them. They don't have fear that doesn't control them. Amen? Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? Because they're fearful. The people who are denying the existence of God believe that God's somehow mad at them. Thank you, Christians. Preaching some kind of weird doctrine that says you got to do something special to receive Jesus. You don't. You, in fact, have to do nothing to receive Jesus. You just say thank you. You just say thank you. And Jesus Christ comes on the inside of you. And He transforms you. And He changes you. You don't transform and change yourself to make God happy or to please Him. He's pleased by one thing, faith. He's pleased by faith in Jesus. Faith in the completed sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins. And then He comes in by the Holy Spirit and He's transforming you every single day. He's changing you into His image every single day. Amen. That's so good. That's so powerful. Because it takes you the focus off of you. How many people, the focus, when the focus of your life and your Christian life is on you, that is a time waster. That puts the focus on you instead of on somebody else receiving Jesus. Amen. That puts the focus on you instead of you focusing on Jesus. Jesus is loving you. Jesus is changing you. Jesus is transforming me. He's transforming me into His image, and I don't do that myself. I cannot do that myself. I still have a flesh container. My flesh container still has a proclivity, a tendency to sin. Amen. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Have you noticed that? Do you notice you trip over yourself? You trip over your own feet. You trip over your own dirty feet. Jesus said all you need is your feet washed. Remember over in John 13. He said you're clean because of the word I've spoken over you. But once in a while you need to get your feet washed. So Jesus washed their feet for them. Who washed their feet?
Jesus.
Did Jesus say, hey, come over here, get that pan of water, go wash your feet before you come in this house? No, Jesus washed their feet for them. Jesus is washing your feet. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is washing my feet. I just thank Him for it. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, verse 2, kings of the earth set themselves. It's like you're getting ready for a match, getting ready for a box, for boxing, getting ready for a fight. The kings of the earth, they set themselves. They're getting ready to fight the Lord. And the rulers take counsel. What punch are we going to use to knock Him out? What's the best way we can get to get God out of our face? The problem is they don't even understand that God's on our side. You remember the prodigal son? He thought his daddy was not on his side. He thought his daddy was not on his side. He just said, give me the share of the money that goes to me and I'm getting out of this town. It's one horse town. I'm getting out of here and I'm going to do my thing. And I'm going to do the thing that I think is going to be the best thing for me, to have a blessed life and to have a good life and to have a life that's full of fun and not a life that's full of drudgery and work and whatever dad's been pushing over here. And so he did. He went off and all of a sudden he probably the first night was thinking everything was going pretty well. Then after the first week, he began to feel sick. And after the first month, he began to notice that his money was running low. I don't know, maybe it took him 2 months. But we find that eventually he's in a pig pen wishing he could eat the pig food. But nobody would give any to him. They're busy feeding them. Don't you eat that? Well, it's for the pigs. You stop eating that. It's not yours. He's over there feeding the pigs. And he finally figured out, you know what? Scratching his head there among the pigs. Think about this: this is the world we live in. Folks living among the pigs, deciding that, you know, this isn't exactly the best way to live. But here in this scripture, they're not even as smart as that boy in the pig pen. They're continuing to rage. They're continuing to imagine a vain thing. And they're still taking counsel against the Lord and against His anointed. Because they figure if they can get all the pig sty boys on their side to rally and riot together downtown, that'll change things. That'll transform things. You know, you want to be able to destroy people's lives by using them for your own purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. God is working on you to give somebody hope, not to put you in the middle of a downtown destruction and take away all of your livelihood. You're probably losing your job because you're downtown. You probably should go to work instead of be downtown protesting. Amen. So the kings of the earth set themselves against, and the rulers of take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. And here's what they say: let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So that's the problem. The problem is the bands and the handcuffs. Take away the handcuffs. If you could just get rid of God and His handcuffs, you know, this world would be okay. You know what? The law of God has kept the world in place and functioning until today. If we had not had the law of God in the world, there would be no world today. There would be no world today. It would have gone under thousands of years ago. But God put the law of God in the earth, and then He wrote it down and gave it to a particular people. He didn't give it to the Jews. How many know God didn't choose the Jews? He created the Jews. He just picked Abram. Abram was an idol worshiper. Hey, you there. Because He knew his heart. He knew that here's a guy who, if I come and speak to him, he'll hear me. And he'll do what I tell him to do. And the world will be saved. You know, Abraham saved the world by obeying God. Do you know you'll save the world by obeying God? Amen. I didn't say you'll save the world by just doing some big fat thing that you do, some incredibly creative thing. You'll save the world just by you obeying God, just yourself. Just you individually, personally. Amen. Because God's got the rest of it. He's got the whole world in His hand. Amen? He does. He's got it. You know, are you happy today because of Jesus? Are you happy only because of Jesus? Amen. You know, that would be the only reason to be happy for anybody at any time, because something may happen that might discourage you otherwise. Has anything ever tried to come up and discourage you? Huh? Amen. Has me. You know what? I don't buy it. I don't believe it. It takes a while to get that. I mean, over and over and over again, it takes a while to get that, is that, you know, I'm not going to be discouraged. I don't believe discouragement doesn't happen to me. Discouragement doesn't happen to me. It's trying to take me over the edge. No, because I'm going to come over here and I'm going to believe that everything that He promised me is something that He's going to perform. And it's not even something I'm going to perform. It's something He's going to perform. And so if He promised He's going to perform it, everything He promised He's going to perform, I'm okay. Because it's not on top of me to perform it. It's not on my watch to perform what He promised. I'm just going to agree with Him and thank Him for it and rejoice in it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to lose people in this world. You know, it's appointed a man once to die and then the judgment. Once to die. And I've lost some folks. Lynn just lost her mama. But she knows right where she is. And she's going to see her again. I know where mine are. I'm going to see him again. It's okay. It's difficult in the moment, because we have those attachments emotionally and heart attachments and daily seeing each other, like, you know, and now we're finally seeing each other here over the last, since the last several months, right, the last couple of weeks, we're able to be with each other again in this venue. Obviously, you could be together in some other ways. But God is giving you peace. Because there are people who have lived, people who have died. There's changes that have happened. I told you about, you know, when they first came out with the telephone, people didn't even want that in their house. People didn't want electricity in their house. People didn't want this. People didn't want that. It's all brand new. It's all new things. You know, people are afraid of one thing and another. How long has Jesus been with the Father? How many years? 2,000 years about has he been with the Father? How long has the church been preaching the gospel? About 2,000 years. I think things have changed in those years in the world, haven't they? Haven't things, a few things changed? There's probably some things in the world that have changed that you never even knew existed. There were things in the church that you never knew existed, that people were preaching the gospel in such a way that you would never have had that inkling, never had that thought. And that thing has come and gone. And today there are ways in which the gospel is being preached that you never thought. And by golly, I just hate it, and I don't want it, and I don't need it, and I don't want to look at it. You know what? I want you to just relax and hear the Lord. I want you to relax and hear God. Not get all worked up about what you think is good or what you think is bad. Get to the Scripture. Get in the presence of God and quit looking at the world. Quit looking at what they're telling you is right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, and get back to the Scriptures. Why do the heathen rage? And do people imagine a vain thing? Because they don't have the Word of God. They don't have the truth. They don't have the promise. God's got a promise. He gave it to you. And you've got it, and you give it to somebody else. See, when you're confused and you don't have anything but the news to guide you, or somebody else who's afraid, somebody else who's drowning, somebody else who's flailing around in the North Atlantic after the Titanic goes down. Well, the Titanic went down. Here we all are in the water, in the cold freezing water, and all we got is other people who are in the cold freezing water with us. You know, there were people who were born again believers in Christ Jesus who died in that water. But they were telling somebody else about Jesus. I tell you, they were telling somebody else about Jesus. There were people who went home to be with Jesus that night who did not know Jesus before. When there's a crisis, there the Word of God is prevalent. When there's a crisis, Jesus Christ is your hope. Amen? He's your hope. Hallelujah. So here the world saying, let us break their bands. Well, everything is good. You can figure that here's a way you can make money. Here's a way you can rule over people. See, that's the desire of men, is to rule over other men. The desire of men is to rule over people, because that way you can make more money out of them. He that sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord shall have them in derision. He almost can't quit laughing. He's going, you think you're going to, you can do what? You think you're going to do what? You think you're going to have some kind of authority over the creation and God's, the creation that God created. You think you're going to have some kind of effect over that. God's not laughing because he thinks it's funny as much as it's like watching the ant try to push over that oak tree. You know, you think you're going to do what? The imagination of a man to be able to think that he might overtake and overwhelm the will of God is humorous to begin with. Verse 5 in Psalm 2, he says, then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. So Jesus is going to have the earth for his possession. But Jesus loves even the heathen, doesn't he? Do you love the heathen? You know you do, don't you? Do you know you love the heathen? I don't like those people that are just trying to destroy the church, and I don't like them, and I'm hoping that they just all go to the bad place. No, that's not who you are. That may be a religious person, but that's not who you are. You are, in fact, a lover. Yeah. You are Jesus Christ living in human flesh, same as Jesus was. You're just living in human flesh, but you are the gospel of the living God. You are the love of God reaching out to every individual person. Whether they hate you, whether they're killing you, whether they want to destroy you and your liberty and your freedom. And I'm a big religious liberty guy. I've been part of the politics that promotes religious liberty in the earth, because in our nation and in our documents and in our constitutions, both in Texas and in the United States, we have already stated and said and declared that religious liberty is paramount and primary, and we are going to fight for it in the political realm as much as in us is, and as much as possible, as much as the ability is for us to, within the limits of political action and laws and elections, it's important for us to be involved in those things, because we have liberties that have been given to us by God. And then we are declaring those things, and we have the authority in our documents, in our governing. We are the governors. We are the leaders. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and decree this Constitution. So this Constitution, which recognizes the authority of God, the authority of the people of God, that's what we do. Well, what if they come in with a tractor and just mow all that down and decide, okay, well, tomorrow we're not doing that. Or tomorrow we're deciding all your religious liberties are gone, and now we're going to just run over you, put you all in jail. It's going to be like the Communist Party. You know, they're going into the Communist Party of China. Is that today now, if you're getting government assistance, if you have a cross or a picture of Jesus in your house, you no longer are eligible for your Social Security, whatever it is. You know, whatever government assistance, you're no longer eligible for that. So we're going to take that off your wall. And we're going to come in, not only that, we'll take it down, we're going to put up a picture of President Xi and Chairman Mao. And these are your gods. If you want to trust somebody, trust these guys. So that's, now if they start doing that, you know, if they start doing that here, you know. You say God will provide? Yes, he will, absolutely. Are you gonna hate those guys? Or are you gonna just love them and tell them about Jesus? What did Jesus do it? What is Jesus doing? He's loving, and he's telling them about Jesus. Now you can fight for your good rights as long as it's able to do. But what's the primary purpose of you being here? Is it to fight for your rights, or to preach the gospel? What's the primary reason? We've got a lot of good Christian folks involved in politics. Problem is, they'll kill each other for disagreeing with each other. I mean, I've seen the thick of it. You know, Christians in politics as bad as any other group of people. I mean, if you don't agree with them, they'll crucify you in a Christian kind of way. They'll crucify you, or they'll boot you out. I got booted out of office. I had a party office, and I got booted out of that because I didn't agree with somebody. And they got their friends together and decided that my service to that community had worn out its welcome. Amen. But do I love every one of them? I absolutely love every one of them. It's my heart. It's your heart. Listen. To love those who don't love you. Who love, and they claim Jesus, and you still love them. Even though they're walking in some kind of crazy way. Because I tell you what, you bite back and devour one another. You'll destroy each other, the Bible, the New Testament says. If you bite and devour one another. Paul noticed that in the church. That was happening in the church. People would bite and devour one another. Don't bite and devour one another. In fact, get back into the Scriptures. Learn how to walk in love. Learn how to walk in love. Walk in peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What'll happen is that once you get back to that, that'll cause you to walk in peace. You'll no longer be worked up about all this stuff. I'm not worked up about all this stuff. You know, I love the same people. So when they loved me, I loved them. And when they didn't love me, I still loved them. But it's not because I'm a lover. It's because Jesus is a lover. Because I want to live at peace. I want to live at peace because I want the gospel to be my testimony. Amen? I want the gospel to be my testimony. So over here, he says, ask of me, verse 8 in Psalm 2, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, talking to Jesus, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now. Therefore, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. So he's going to kind of knock down their toys. And you might notice that. Their toys may be knocked down for a while. But you know what? I think you're going to be okay. Amen? Things may shake up for a while. But I think you're going to be okay. Because you have a God who takes care of you. You have a God who's in your boat. You remember the storm? And Jesus was with his disciples in the boat. Jesus! Don't you care that we're perishing? Jesus said, do you think you were in trouble if I'm in your boat? He calmed the storm. There's no problem. There's no problem for Jesus. Is Jesus calming your storm? First of all, sometimes he'll calm it on the inside first. Before he calms it on the outside. Huh? My storm's calm. Not because I'm anything. I'm no different than you. I just know that Jesus is calming my storm. Today, listen, Jesus is calming your storm. No matter what you're thinking, no matter what the news was today, no matter what the news was yesterday, no matter what things looked like, Jesus is doing the storm. He is taking care of the storm. First of all, he takes care of it on the inside. He's changing you, transforming you, causing peace on the inside. So a lot of these things are taking place. Well, it looks like a lot of things are being knocked down. He says, he commands them. He says, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Amen. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Happy are all those who put their trust in him. So you're worried about what's happening in the world, that's it. That's right there is Psalm 2. The world is shaken because they want to have their own way. They don't like being told what to do because their flesh has a different idea of what happiness is. But the destruction of the flesh is in sin. And so what God's done is made a way for you to escape sin. But they think their salvation is in sin. They think their salvation, the world thinks their salvation is in liberty of the flesh. And God is restricting them, causing them, God is to them evil by preventing them from carrying out their mission. But God says no. It's like you telling your little kid, don't touch that stove. There's a reason. And you're being destroyed because of it. Amen. Let's look over at Psalm 57 for a minute. Psalm 57. If you've ever read Psalm 91, this I'll call the sister to it. And right in the middle, David makes a statement that I think will encourage you and bless you and cause you to stand on the promise of the Word of God. Psalm 57 verse 1 says, be merciful to me. This is David. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. So God's mercy is comes in on his on trust, on you as you trust him. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings I make my refuge. And turn over to, not right now, but later. I want you to compare this to Psalm 91 and Psalm 27. Psalm 91 and Psalm 27. You can write that down. Psalm 91, Psalm 27. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, my shelter, until these calamities be overpassed. Whew, sounds like to me like they're passing over. Until these calamities be overpassed. Hallelujah. It'll settle down. I said it'll settle down. You know, you ever notice it tends to settle down? People only have so much energy to keep this going. Then they kind of get tired. Until these calamities, there may be some other ones coming, but these are the ones you're thinking about, until these get overpassed. Joe? Until these be overpassed. That's right. Amen. We've seen some others come and go, haven't we? Have we seen some others come and go? You'll see these come and go. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. Yeah. I'll cry unto Him. Lord, help! You know what? He hears me. He likes me to cry. He likes me to holler. He likes to hear me. He said, let's read that part again. I will cry unto the Lord Most High, because He's Most High, unto God that performs all things for me. Yeah, He does all things for me. I didn't have to go out and do it myself. He did it for me. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for doing that for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to save myself. Over in Romans 8:32, he says, he that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So he didn't. He that spared not his own son, that's God the Father. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not? How and what? In what way shall he not also freely give us all things? He's doing all things for me. He shall send from heaven, verse 3, Psalm 57, verse 3. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Some of these things want to swallow you. It seems like these things want to swallow you up. At least you get it in your mind that these things are going to swallow you up. It's not true. It's not true. These things can't swallow you up. Because you're born of God. The peace of God reigns in your heart. You know, so many times the things you think are going to swallow you up is because your peace seems to be gone. But I want to tell you, your peace is not gone. The peace of God reigns in your heart. Now, sometimes your head gives you a little bit of trouble, but the peace of God has never left your heart. The peace of God reigns in your heart. You know, you got to figure out the difference between your head and your heart.
Yes.
And you do that by getting back to His promise. You get back into the Word. And He shows you what your heart is. He shows you who you are. He shows you what His promise is. There's nothing. Paul says, none of these things moves me. But in the epistles, he was talking about all of the things that he had been through, all the troubles he'd been through, all perils on the sea, perils in the, you know, on the land, perils everywhere, problems, issues, troubles. He said, none of these things moves me. None of these things moves me. You know, that's true of you. Is none of these things moves you. None of these things. Praise the Lord. I'm not moved by these problems and these issues. Now, I might have to make a adjustment in the physical realm. But that doesn't move me either. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not fearful of that. Amen. Because I know that God provided all things for me. If I had to change one thing or another thing, God gives me wisdom to do that. And He'll show me exactly what to do. I'm okay. How many of you are okay? Everything's going my way.
Okay.
Even if things appear to be going the other way, everything's going my way. How can you say that? Because I believe that God's over everything. What God began, He's going to complete. He's going to finish what He started. That good work He began in me, He's going to complete it. And nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop Him. He's going to complete that work on the inside of me. And on the outside. Okay, verse 3 again. He shall send from heaven. Good. And save me. There you go. From the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. Think about that. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Wow. So he's going to send it. He's going to send his mercy and his truth. It's going to be, I mean, it's like, you know, anybody ever got an Amazon shipment? I get way more than I ever did before. They just appear on the front door. Amen. They just appear on the front doorstep. I just call them all mercy and truth. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. There's another, you know.
Eating meat.
Listen to this. This is maybe your testimony. My soul is among the lions. That's your soul. That is like your outward man, your mind, your will, your emotions. You know, the things that are affecting your thoughts. The things that come in and try to shake you. Get your attention. Hey, hey, hey! Get your attention off of the Lord. Get your attention. Things try to get your attention, don't they? They want to slap you around and get your attention. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm scary. Well, no, you're not. God's scary. And I like it. My soul is among the lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. I lie even among them who are set on fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue is a sharp sword. Boy, this is... I'm in the middle of a tough battle. There's people who want to make you afraid. people who want to get your attention off of the completed work that Jesus has done on the inside of you. He is he's continuing to complete that work. Amen? He's continuing to bless you. He's continuing to change you into His image. And their tongue is a sharp sword. Be thou exalted. So in the middle of all that, here's your testimony. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. I think we sang that this morning for some reason. Praise the Lord. I honestly did not even think about this verse. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth. Even above all these folks who are among the lions and set on fire and teeth with a sharp sword. God is exalted above all of those, and His glory is above all the earth. They have prepared a net. God, did you notice? I just thought I'd mention it. I know you got a lot of things going on, but they prepared a net for my steps. And my soul is a little bit bowed down. Okay, amen. I get that. Your soul is a little bit struggling, a little bit. Your minds and your struggling a little bit. You know God's in control, but boy, it just seems like it's pretty tough right now. They have digged a pit, and they have. They digged a pit for me before, right in front of me, into the midst whereof they have fallen themselves. It's a problem with digging a pit. You might fall in. Especially when you fall digging for somebody else. You might just fall in it. Selah. Think about that. Now here David says this. Now here's your testimony. My heart. Now wait. What did he say? My heart? Okay, that first two words right there. My heart. Now go back up to verse 4. What's that say? My what? My soul is struggling. My soul is having a dickens of a time in that boat with the storm. Well, what does it say about my heart? What do I say about my heart? It's fixed. Solid. Firm. Unmovable. My heart. That's where I live. I live in my heart. Amen? Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So your whole spirit, soul, and body. That's our prayer. It's that, Lord, preserve me. Spirit starts in the spirit. Soul works on the soul and works its way out in the body. Your actions and your performance. Those things that you do. So, from the heart, you're transformed, the soul becomes changed, and the body begins to act on what the soul has been changed into by the Spirit. The Word of God speaks to your spirit, changes your mind. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Your mind becomes transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And then Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit becomes evident in your body. My heart is fixed. This is Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed.
Amen.
I will sing and give praise. I will grumble and complain. That's what happens when your heart's not fixed. When your heart's not fixed, I'll grumble and complain. No, but my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise.
Thank you.
There's evidence. There's the evidence of your fixed heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Awake! Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. So I'm going to wake early. I'm not going to wait till the end of the week. I think I'll wake early. You know, you could wait to wake. You know, you could wait and grumble another couple of days. Why don't you go ahead and wake early? Let's wake early. Just when that grumble comes up, say, nope, Jesus' name. I'm already, my heart is fixed. See, you speak to your heart. I mean, you speak to your soul. Amen? Speak to your soul. I'm going to speak to you, speaking to yourselves in Psalms. Right here. Psalms. And hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So wake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. Among the people. I thought I'd do it quietly in my closet. No. I will sing unto thee among the nations. That's your testimony, isn't it? The Word of God. The completed work of Jesus Christ. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. You know, as we wake up tomorrow, you know, we got our weeks all worked out, don't we? We kind of got our weeks all worked out. Then we go to church on Sunday, you know, have a good message. Glory to God. And we wake up on Monday morning, and I mean, it just all seems to be worked out to where Monday morning is depressing. It's kind of designed to be that way in the flesh. It's like the world works that way. It's like, okay, wake up. Now here's what we tell you you got to do. Hope you had a nice time with Jesus yesterday. But now the world is going to tell you what you need to do. Well, that's not true. That's why the Sabbath is no longer one day a week. I know it's not Sunday, it's Saturday. But that was the Sabbath for the Jewish people going forward. But going forward, the Sabbath not Sunday. We celebrate on Sunday because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead. That's a great day to celebrate. But the Sabbath didn't move from Saturday to Sunday. Well, it moved. No, it didn't move. I mean, there's some folks who've got doctrines built around saying that the Sabbath moved to Sunday. Well, it did not. The Sabbath actually moved to every day, 24/7. The Sabbath is every day. It's Monday too. It's Monday morning. Amen. It's Monday morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm at rest even when I'm working. I'm at rest every single day. Hallelujah. So I don't have to go according to the world's calendar. The world's calendar says, here's how you look at this and here's how you look at that. No, I look at God's calendar. God's calendar says every day is a new day. Every day I'm walking in Jesus. Every day I'm at rest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Are you enjoying this? I'm enjoying this. Of course, I'm talking, you're not, but, you know, I'm enjoying this, is that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says He has made me glad.
Yes. Amen.
I like to say that He made me that way. He didn't make me sad. He didn't make me grumpy. He didn't make me irritated. He made me glad. So if He made me that way, that's the way I am. Hallelujah. I'm having a good time. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Well, God's good. Anybody have anything you want to say hallelujah or bless the Lord, or anybody want to testify in any way?
I got another correction of what I said earlier.
Praise the Lord.
It wasn't Isaac Newton. It was Albert Einstein.
Albert Einstein, yeah.
He came up with E equals MC squared 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew knows his stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Energy equals mass times the velocity of light squared. And what that got man, Albert Einstein was a Jew, but what this got man was the ability to split out of atoms and accelerate the law of sin and death. That's all we've ever done.
Woo!
Since Cain killed Abel, has steadily accelerated the loss of death. Okay, World War II, all the power that was in World War II, with all the nations and all the firepower they used in that war, a Trident submarine has, one of them, has eight times the amount of this death in it. Could put us in, one of them could put us in a nuclear winter. So that is, that's man's weapon.
That's it. Yep.
Law of sin and death.
That's right. Yep. We're just working on producing more of it.
Yeah.
Producing more of the law of sin and death. But Jesus came to redeem me and the entire world. And the death of Jesus is more powerful than E equals MC squared. More powerful than any bomb, because it can transform the heart of man.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, God is good. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.